We'll begin. Our devotion today is based on Luke 23, these verses. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. This Herod was not King Herod the Great, but rather the ruler in Galilee at the time of Pontius Pilate. On Good Friday morning, the first Good Friday, he had opportunity to try Jesus and was glad to see him, it would seem, in hope of some entertainment that he could watch Jesus do a miracle upon request. Though not as crass as Herod was, people today take a similar approach. They're willing to cross paths with Jesus, engage in Christianity, as long as it appeals to their sense of instant satisfaction. In a variety of church denominations, pastors and congregations are willing to cater to this approach. They do that by replacing the tried and true of Christian worship, hymns, liturgy, law and gospel preaching, with more popular forms of presentation. Church for them, as a result, has more the look of a talk show on television or a CCM concert. And yeah, people like it, flocking in great numbers, mainly, it would seem, to be entertained on Sunday morning. Could this ever be a problem for you and me? Well, how often have we thought, this service is getting boring, I'd rather do something else right now? We've all thought that. Where does that thought come from? Is there something wrong with the gospel? Or the way the Bible portrays Jesus? Of course not. There is something wrong, however, with you and me. Our sin-corrupt heart is all too ready to buy into the notion, amuse me, entertain me, and then I'll pay attention. Human nature wants everything to be fun, including Sunday worship. Now, if we reach the conclusion that worship as we know it is a boring thing, then we let sin take over, which would include a serious form of disrespect to God Himself, as Herod was toward Jesus that day. Christianity, your religion, by nature and virtue of its content, is not entertaining. It's not even comfortable. And that's because of the core problem of our sin. Once you come to terms with that reality about yourself, you're left with negative, unpleasant feelings. God's law makes the case every time that we are guilty of sins against Him. So we feel guilty. God's law has also passed judgment that you and I deserve death and hell. So there's the attached fear of judgment. God's law brings one more thing. The fact that you can do nothing to get yourselves out of this quagmire. How does that make you feel? Helpless? Hopeless? Should we put the law on the sideline? Tone it down? Make it a little easier to take so the negative feelings can go away? It's just not possible when the fact of the matter is God has to crush us, shatter us in His condemnation of our sin so as to recover us with the soul saving treatment of the gospel. Even the gospel of Christ has a message far removed from any sort of entertainment. What the Lord did to suffer for us is not amusing, nor is the level of torment on the cross, the God-forsakenness that he felt on that dark afternoon. Although, guys, all those things have worked to bring about your salvation. Through that suffering was your punishment carried out by him in your place. Through that suffering, he purchased your forgiveness, your place in heaven. It's not supposed to entertain. But the power of Christ crucified is the thing that can change your life and make it last forever. Think of God's house, whether it's here in this gym or at Messiah or some other congregation, as holy ground where you meet God and get to trade up. At this sacred spot, the spot where word and sacrament are at the center of attention, you have the Lord's standing invitation. You should bring the guilt of all your sins ever done. Confess it to him and have it treated medicinally with the guarantee of God's forgiveness. You should also bring your fears, especially the fear of death and judgment, and have that treated with the promise of eternal life, the comfort of God's refuge at all times. You should also bring your other sorrows and troubles and have those treated with the confidence and joy of knowing Jesus as your all-victorious Savior. On holy ground, the holy ground of worship, you get to unload all the bad onto him and take away with you all the good things that he has to offer. In my experience as a customer, I've noticed two tendencies. Either the high-quality goods are too expensive, or the bargain goods are cheaply made. It's a rare thing to get high quality at a low price. But in the Word of God, you receive the riches of His tremendous grace at no cost to you. So, if the mind starts to wander, or those feelings of boredom creep in, you have a way to reset using the God-given template of Christian worship, realizing, first of all, that church, chapel, that's sacred. You're on holy ground. And what happens here is just too important to get lost in the distractions. Secondly, the Word of Christ is the one thing that will work to treat sin, to grow spiritually, to have blessing from God. Finally, in Christian worship comes the best deal you're going to get. It is time well spent on a weekly basis, a daily basis. No, it's not going to entertain. It's not supposed to. But you have the Lord's assurance that it will bring lasting joy, real peace, eternal hope, all anchored in Him and His victory for us. Amen. We close our worship today with hymn 37, stanzas 1 and 3. Hymn 37.